Hello everyone, and welcome to Toonami Therapy on August 27th of 2020. I am Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And this is our podcast where we talk about some of the anime and other stuff we've been watching, some of which air on Toonami. But this week, none of the anime aired on Toonami because it was some Batman stuff.
Yep.
Although the animation for the first of the films, Batman Gotham Knight, most or maybe even all of it was done by Japanese studios, the animation itself.
Yeah.
So I guess it's kinda anime? Okay. Well, anyway, so we've got two, we'll go through those before we get into the actual anime stuff we watched. So there was Batman Gotham Knight, which was actually six things in one, and then there was Batman The Dark Knight Returns Part 2. And this time we'll actually discuss them a little because we both watched them.
Right.
Okay, so you wanted, since the first one was actually six different sort of shorts, you wanted to do some kind of rank, you wanted us to share how we ranked them?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
The worst, or worst the best, whichever way you think works. Okay.
Well, first I'll just say them really quick. I'll summarize them really quickly. The first is, Have I Got a Story for You? In this one, a bunch of kids talk. Oh, do you hear me now?
Yeah, now I do.
Okay. Yeah, I think there is some sort of air there. Okay. The first is, Have I Got a Story for You? In it, a bunch of kids discuss times they thought they saw Batman. The next one is Crossfire. Two detectives are on a case, and then Batman shows up at the end. The third is Field Test. Batman ends up trying to stop a gang war, but someone gets shot, and he gets depressed. The fourth one is In Darkness Dwells, where Batman saves this guy who got captured by this gang of people in the sewers or whatever. The fifth one is Working Through Pain, where Batman has a flashback. The sixth one is Deadshot, where Batman takes on an assassin. There you go. That is my one sentence description for each of them.
Okay. So do we want to go best to worst or worst to best?
Well, are we doing them like one at a time, or do we each give ours? Like, do we just go through each of ours and then the other goes through all of them?
I don't know.
Okay. Because mine is actually kind of boring because I put it together and then I realized that I had literally ranked them from best to worst, in the reverse order they aired. The one I liked the most was the last. The one I liked the second most was the second to last. The one I liked the least was the first.
Okay, well, I've got a more creative order.
Okay.
My favorite one was the golf one, number three. Field Test. That was the one that I enjoyed the most because I thought it had the appropriate amount of humor and still enough Batman stuff in it, and it was the most entertaining. Second most was number five, the Pain one. I liked the whole thing of Batman learning to overcome pain and stuff, though it did have a weak ending.
Yeah, that actually might have been first if not for just the randomness of the ending, where Alfred's like, take my hand, and Batman just, because he's holding his gun, just goes, I can't. And that's the end. I guess Batman just stayed there forever.
Yeah, third best, number two, the Crossfire one, because I thought that was some pretty good action there. Only problem was Batman didn't show up until the very, 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 very end. So,
yeah. Sorry,
it's just kind of there.
I'm sorry. I think we got disconnected again.
Okay.
I think we got disconnected again. My internet's been wonky lately.
Yeah, it's not on my end here. Sure.
Yeah, my internet has been kind of wonky. I'm sorry about that. But you were saying that Batman just showed up at the end of that one, and that's right when it cut off. So just continue on from that point.
Okay. And so number my fourth place one is number one, the story one. And then number six is actually fifth for me just because I was a little confused as what was going on. And it wasn't bad, really. I just got a little confused. And maybe I was just tired from having
Did you say your last one was a fifth? Did you say your last one was the fifth one?
No.
Oh, okay. I misheard you. Okay. What did you say the last one was?
I wasn't at the last
place. Okay. Then I completely misheard you. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, we'll just get this over with. My least favorite one was number four because I don't remember a single thing that happened in it. So it has to be last. I just draw a complete blank. What even aired there? I don't know what. Was I, like, sleeping? I know I wasn't sleeping for once. I don't know what. I just don't remember anything about it. So, yeah, you could have fooled me if you would.
Okay, everyone, we're back, hopefully. The Wi-Fi was not working at all. Hopefully it's working now. If it goes out again, we'll have to try to either just abandon ship or try some other recording thing. Unfortunately, we also can't really remember exactly what we were talking about because it's been so long. It took quite a while to do this. I think we were just wrapping it up, and you were saying about how you couldn't remember much of anything from that other one, last one you were talking about. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I just listed them in terms of how, like, well I could remember them mostly, which makes me wonder if maybe the reason I put them in that reverse order is just I remembered the later stuff better because it came later, but I don't know. But anyway, so that's basically it. It's six different Batman shorts of varying quality. Only other thing I wanted to mention is the fact that so Kevin Conroy did Batman in Batman the Animated Series and also the Arkham, like, Asylum video games. And he's a great Batman. But he does Batman's voice in here, and it does not really feel like it fits the tone and, like, sort of setting. Because this supposedly is stuff that takes place between Batman Begins and The Dark Knight. So you're just thinking, why didn't you get Christian Bale to do the voice if it takes place in the Nolanverse?
Yeah.
All right. After that, we get to Batman The Dark Knight Returns Part 2. Now, you did not see Part 1, but we watched Part 2 together.
And it doesn't feel like I really missed all that much.
Yeah, they did a pretty good job making them fairly self-contained stories. I mean, there's stuff in here that is an extension of the first one. What I mean is, you can go into either of them, just watch that part, and have what works as a fairly, like, satisfying story. You don't need to see the first to understand the second, although it might help if you knew at least a bare knowledge of it. And you don't need even the first one outside of, you know, like, the brief stinger at the end where you see the Joker works fine as a standalone film.
Mm-hmm.
So, in this one, Batman has made his triumphant return, so the Joker decides to go now on a new sort of rampage of him, and he and Bat... I'll just be going through this pretty quickly. Maybe I shouldn't be going through the plot because that I don't know, because it's almost kind of a review rather than a recap here. So
yeah, we can just talk about what we liked and what we didn't. I liked the humor with the Ronald Reagan impersonator and how this the president acted kind of like the current president. he was like so corrupt, and it was just so funny because
apparently this is literally supposed to be Ronald Reagan. This takes place in some alternate 1986.
Yeah. It was really funny, and so I have to give him props for that. I like the whole Joker thing and him killing off David Letterman and all of that. The guy's name was even David or Dave or something.
David, I'm looking at the synopsis, David Endocrine. And
that's a weird last name, but I like that part of it, but what I did not like was the whole Batman versus Superman fight. Like, it seemed so not unessential. Like, it just felt like, okay, we need Batman to fight Superman to close out the film. But they didn't need to be fighting. There was no reason for their fight. So I felt like that was just a giant waste of time. And then the ending to it was weird. And the end of the whole thing I didn't like very much. But for the first, hour and a half, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, the Batman and Superman fight, well, okay, it's obligatory. At least it didn't end with one of them saying Martha. that movie is never going to live that scene down, is it? The thing I have to look at this is that this was based on a Batman story that ran in the 1980s. I'm kind of left wondering if things like back then, did the Batman fight Superman, was it maybe more like of a novel concept back then, possibly, that they hadn't done it in all these different ideas and stuff? But in fact, that's actually something, because from what I can tell, this is based very strongly on that The Dark Knight Returns comic story. And that, rather than, and I was just, and that dates a lot of the things in it. For example, so we've got all this stuff with the Joker. Now, there's an obvious issue someone might notice, and that's the fact, well, so you got all this stuff with Batman and the Joker. Where is Harley Quinn? Like, you know, one of the most iconic characters associated with the Joker? Well, I'll tell you, she wouldn't be created for another 7 years or so, because her debut was in Batman the Animated Series. But that, it just makes you watch this, and it's just so very, I mean, I'm not saying she would have, like, you know, should have been, had a big role, but like even a mention or something would have been nice. But yeah, I think the real problem I had with the Batman fighting Superman is it just didn't feel like it had much setup. Like, so Superman, so my understanding is, like, this is what happened. So Batman is able to help keep peace in Gotham while there's all this chaos everywhere else because all the electronics went off due to something. And the Reagan guy doesn't like that. So he's like, hey, go kill Batman. And Superman's like, okay. And it's, and it's just, I mean, that just doesn't make much sense to me. Now, I know a bunch of people weren't liking Batman for being a vigilante, to be fair, I mean, I guess he did hurt a bunch of police officers while he was trying to make his escape, though on the other hand, it's kind of weird that they were going so hard after him when he was the one who beat the Joker who had been going and killing a bunch of people, so. And by the way, when he decides to, like, kill everyone at the audience, I was just thinking, are there no security guards at all here? Because there didn't seem to be anyone, even though you literally have this deranged criminal mastermind on the show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, And there's just a lot of the stuff with the Batman-Superman fight just didn't feel like it had real setup. I mean, there's a little bit of it, you know, where they're talking and stuff, but I just don't think it really got set up well enough. Maybe it was there was more of it in the comics or whatever, but I'm just judging it based on the film. I think it still had some cool parts in it. I thought the ending was okay. The big problem, of course, when I look at this, come and really to a certain extent the stuff in Batman Gotham Knight with, I just keep thinking, wow, this was done kind of in Batman the Animated Series or DC Animated Universe, and I thought it was done better then.
Yeah.
There's also the fact when that character who's Green Arrow, I had to look it up, he's just there and they just call him Oliver and they never say who he is. You just are supposed to know he's Green Arrow, I guess. Or maybe they did mention it and I missed it. So, I don't know. I guess right now I am kind of focusing on the negatives. On the whole, I did think it was pretty good. I don't think I liked it as much as the first part of The Dark Knight Returns. But I definitely liked it more than either Batman Gotham Knight or Batman Year One. So, if I was going to give my ranking, I suppose, of all four of the Batman films from best to worst, it would be The Dark Knight Returns Part 2, The Dark Knight Returns Part 1, Year 1, and then Gotham Knight.
Okay.
So, yeah, that was Batman. Not too much else to say about it. I mean, if you're a fan of Batman, I think you would enjoy these movies. There are some issues with it, but like, there's a very strong core to The Dark Knight Returns. I've heard that the author did come by like maybe 15 years later and wrote a sequel that was really bad, though. All right, now let's get to the actual anime stuff. So, we are starting out on Excel World episodes 19 and 20. So, let's see. Is it 19, 20? Yeah. So, 19 is the conclusion of the stuff with Kuroyuki Hime, where they find... where she teams up with that other guy because they're going up against the monster thing. I was a little confused about exactly why it was a monster, whatever. But whatever, it's a bad monster and it's being controlled by some sort of hacker person who cheated some stuff in the game. And they managed to win. And Kuroyuki Hime's friend apparently used to be a burst linker and she enters in and helps out, but then she thinks the whole thing was a dream somehow. So I guess to write her off. it was okay, but it's just a matter of, it's such an awkward insertion of Kuroyuki Hime's story.
Yeah, my problem with this is, like, the way they kind of made Kuroyuki Hime into, like, a hentai victim. Like the other girl's like, okay, I'm gonna, you know, do stuff to you, and then you just hear this loud scream, and it was like, is this a hentai? Like, this had nothing to do with anything. So yeah, that first episode, I didn't care for too much.
Yeah, the timing is so weird. It would have made much more sense to put these things. Like, so you could have had Kuroyuki Hime leave, you could have shown these two episodes of her adventures while on vacation, and then you could have done all this other stuff with, I can't remember his name, so I'll just keep calling him Jerk Kid, instead of just having that plot, and then just putting it on pause for two episodes to go into this.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I just don't know why they didn't put Kuroyuki Hime stuff before or potentially after. I'm going to assume that maybe the stuff with Jerk Kid goes until the end of the season and concludes then. So it would make sense to put it before, but it just putting it in the middle is so weird. Okay. Anyway, then we get to episode 20. So, Jerk Kid gets, got healed by, now I can never, I'm so bad with names. Chiyu, was that her name?
Yeah.
Okay, Chiyu. And there, and, so then, why can I not remember anyone's, okay, Haru and Taku. I keep having trouble because they both, because they have the same vowels in their names. It's, ah-oo for both of them. So he manages to then beat them, and then they ask, so what's going on? What's he have on you? And she's like, oh, no, I'm doing this out of my own free will, and just leaves. And they're like, huh, well, they're trying to figure out what's going on, because it's pretty obvious that's not the case. Like so obvious is not the case. I mean, what she thinks that's going to fool them, or? Anyway, so they're trying to figure out what to do, but then that camera gets found, and Haru gets this, everyone thinks Haru did it because I can't remember what I think Jerk Kid told. I need to learn his name, but it's so much more fun to say Jerk Kid. Jerk Kid, I know he did something to make people think Haru did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, that was better, but it was, I don't know, I'm just finding it a little, like, the antagonist is so, like, unlikable that you're just like, look, I just want this guy to lose already.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
One other thing, I noticed this in the past, it's not just this episode I noticed this. It was before this also, but I'm not sure if this was always the case. So when they're in the Excel world in their suits and you see like they're supposedly real bodies, they appear to, I mean, you don't ever see anything really like below the shoulders usually, but like the obvious thing is that they're apparently like naked or something. And, like, was that always the case, or was it just something more in more recent episodes?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you, you know? I don't know.
I feel like that was the case in this other, this anime I saw called Soul Eater, where there are these characters who could transform into weapons, and then while they were transformed, there were parts where you would see, like, you know, their... because you would want to see, like, reactions and of, like, their faces and stuff. It would like this, always, like, cut to them in some sort of black location or whatever. And it was that same sort of thing, because I'm pretty sure... Oh, I know... Was it that originally you saw them clothed and then later on they're just like, oh, well, I guess they're not wearing anything in that thing. I mean, you know, you never see anything, but that's the implication. Or was it the opposite where they were like that originally and then switched and then suddenly they were clothed while they were transformed? I can't remember. I just know that I remember that was switched in that show. So, and that's the thing. I didn't notice it earlier than a few episodes ago. So I'm not sure if this was a change the show made or if I just never noticed it before.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember.
All right. So then we move on to ReZero episode 33. So with Otto and Ram, Subaru is planning to escape, and Ram actually gets a line so great I wrote it down because I had to say it. It's when she's saying that it would be hard for them all to get on the horse, and she says, even if both of you only amount to half a man, you each take up enough space for a full man. So they're getting out, but basically everyone else, but Garfield shows up and is after them, and basically Otto and a bunch of other people get killed. I don't know if Ram did or not. We don't explicitly see. But then it seems like Subaru's about to be killed, but then something happens with that gem, which just makes him sudden, which suddenly makes it, it's suddenly winter and everyone is gone. So I don't know if he went forward in time or somehow, or if, Puck decided to just make everything snow because he got angry about something or what. Then he encounters in the most bizarre death in ReZero so far, a bunch of bunnies that attack and kill him, and Subaru unfortunately does not have the holy hand grenade, so he can't beat them. Ugh. Like, I have to wonder you can't see killer rabbits without thinking about that. But it's just so random. They're just evil rabbits that kill him. Why?
Yeah.
Where did they come from?
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's just so weirdly random. Was that supposed to be kind of amusing in how crazy it was?
Possibly.
Okay. But anyway, but that kills him, so he goes back to the time with Amelia, and before he freaks out too much, Echidna summons him to her again, and they kind of talk for a bit, and Subaru finds out that he can actually say to her about his ability to return from the dead, which actually is kind of a... Like, the part where he says that, and he just keeps, once he realizes he can say it, he just keeps saying it over and over again. That was actually kind of cool, because that actually is probably how, that makes sense, that's how he'd react to be able to actually say it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she mentions that she's basically been watching him and knows all the stuff he's done, and that's basically where the episode, ends.
Mm-hmm.
So
what do you think of it?
I liked it a good amount, honestly. I mean, the stuff with the bunnies was really random, but I assume it'll be explained later. I don't know. I'm really starting to kind of like Echidna.
Yeah, I am starting to like her. But I feel like the Subaru must suffer thing is just, it's getting old. Like, okay, we couldn't figure out any other way for him to die, so let's just get these bunnies to kill him, because then that will make for good memes. And it's like, well, it might make for good memes, but you're kind of pushing this whole Subaru suffer thing too far, and I'm getting kind of confused by what's going on, and I don't know, a lot of the best characters from the last season are all missing in action, and I know that you can't always have the same characters, but it just seems such a shame to introduce these characters who were really interesting and had great personalities, and then they're gone, and where Otto is like the main Otto is the big guy now, and it's like, why did they choose to focus this second season on him? I was like, that was the last person I expected to have a giant role in this season. So I'm feeling a lot of confusion, whereas I didn't really feel that in the first season. Like, it was kind of a thing like, okay, we know he's going to die now because bad things have happened enough. I just feel too confused by this. That's all.
That's honestly something I've been wondering about. I feel like the show should... Well, I here's the thing. I was going to say, because it's so common for, oh, terrible things happened, well, reset didn't matter. Like, it would be nice to see us end one of these things and not actually be able to reverse some of the, at least some major things or maybe deaths that happened. Now, I guess you can say they kind of did that with the fact he was unable to help out Rem and Crochet, but that wasn't really part, that was just sort of like this side thing. He wasn't there and present. It would have been like if, you know, he had gotten through the going up against for example, Betelgeuse, and then someone important had like died, and it was, and you know, at that point it was too late to change it. And I'm not saying they should have done that then. I'm just saying if they, when they keep doing stuff like this and you just know it's going to reset, it doesn't really, it just takes away any idea of it really mattering.
Yeah.
We know that's like the thing. If there were more time, when Subaru, like, here's the thing. If Subaru dies, you're like, that's fine. You know he's going to come back. There's not really drama there, and the show knows it. It's not asking you to, like, go, oh, man, is Subaru going to manage to make it to the end of the season? When another character dies, when you watch it so far, you're just going to be thinking, oh, well, I guess we'll see a reset.
Yeah.
I will say the part where Subaru starts, you know, starts thinking, oh, maybe I can say I can return from death. And he's like slowly doing it. And I thought that actually was played well, because I was thinking, oh, wait, is he going to be able to do it? Is this it? And then he says it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's cool. He can say it to her.
Yeah.
Come to think of it, has it ever been established if Subaru is unable to say it to someone, or if he can't say it up to this point at all? Like, was he capable of saying it to himself if no one was there, is what I'm wondering about.
Yeah, that's a good question. For some reason, I thought he... No, you know what? I'd have to look back. You'd have to really look closely at it to figure that out, so...
I don't think it ever established that, because I'm pretty sure each time he was stopped, it was when he was trying to tell someone, and I don't think we ever saw him try to test it out to see if that would happen if he said it while he was alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So now we've got Tales of the Abyss episodes 7 and 8. Okay, so I'm going to be honest, I can remember the 8th episode, episode 8, really well. I cannot really remember much of anything that was in episode 7, the first of the two episodes we watched.
Yeah, well, basically in the first of the episodes, they went and saved Eon, or Ion, or whatever, however you're supposed to pronounce his name, because that is a male, believe it or not. And Ion goes and unlocks something with his magic or something, and then the big problem becomes is that Luke wants to go on a hurry to do something, and everyone else is like, no, we need to help Ion out. So everyone gets pissed off at Luke, and he kind of gets left alone, which makes me wonder, like, in the game, like, at that point in the game, do you have to start fighting off enemies with just Luke? Because even Tyr turns on him. Like, that kind of broke my heart whenever Tyr turned on him. Because I was like, okay, everyone else is going to do it, but Tyr is going to stand by his side. And she didn't. And I was so disappointed in her for... but Anyway.
And wait, this was all in the first episode? Because some of the things you're describing I thought were in the second.
Yeah.
Okay.
I said the first episode.
Okay, go on. This just shows how bad my memory... I don't know why I can't remember the first episode.
Yeah. So yeah, I am going into the second episode.
Okay, because that's what I actually... I can remember the second episode, like, perfectly. It's the first I can't remember anything about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... And then there's the whole thing with Tira and her brother. And her brother, like, wants to do something really bad, I think, start the war, if I'm not mistaken. And then that red-haired guy who looks exactly like Luke is, like, he's kind of sort of helping them. So that's confusing. I mean, I'm just like, what? I don't know. I thought he was going to be like the big villain. Maybe he still could be, but I was just surprised he was like kind of sort of helping them out.
Yeah.
I really liked especially the second episode. As you said, the first one wasn't too memorable. It was just kind of the whole thing of saving Ion, or Eon, or whatever.
Yeah. Part of the problem was that I watched, if I remember correctly, when I watched the stuff this week, I did it in a sort of weird order. I watched one episode of Tales of the Abyss, then I watched the Excel World episodes, then ReZero, and then I got back to Tales of the Abyss and watched the second episode. So that might be why I can't remember the first one very well. Or maybe
The reason why I kind of blurred them together is because I watched them back to back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but the second episode, so they all get to the Axeria place. And so basically, they get into it. They go, because they're trying to stop the miasma thing. And so they go into the thing, and they get all split up like before, which again makes you wonder, was it just Luke who came in onto this part? Or, you know, I'm just so curious, because a bunch of the stuff that Luke says, or the way he acts, like that gag where he's always calling himself the Goodwill Ambassador, was that, I'm like wondering, was that in the game? Because you often don't see that sort of stuff from, like, the character you play as in an RPG. Well, no, that's not, maybe it's a matter of he did act like that, but it's more pronounced because you're not playing it. Like, I was thinking The World Ends With You, and you're like, and I'm thinking, yeah, Neku is kind of a jerk through a lot of that game, but it's not quite as obvious, but you don't really think about it as much because you're playing as him.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so they get, so Tyr's brother, Van, I think his name was, who was Luke's teacher, gets him into this place, and he's like telling Luke, okay, so if you use your power thing, that will get rid of the miasma, and everything will be perfectly okay. So he does it, except it turns out it was actually a trick, and what he's actually done is killed everyone. So that's not so good. And everyone is really angry at him over Ed. And I'm just thinking, you know, he did think he was helping people about it. You know, getting all angry and abandoning him like this seems sort of, well, I mean, I guess to be fair, the fact Luke is like, well, it was his fault, not mine. It's maybe not the best at getting people to take your side, but still, he was tricked into it.
Yeah,
Ash, how was his name even pronounced? I'll just call him Ash. Was like trying to telepathically tell him, "Hey, don't do that," But, you know, why would Luke think that Ash was telling the truth on that, when Ash has basically been the antagonist up until this point?
Right, yeah.
Anyway, also there's a great line where I think Natalia says this to Luke. She says, something like, "Ever since you've lost your memories, you've been like a different person." I'm like, you think? Wouldn't losing all your memories do that? So then there's some stuff where the guy mentioned something about like where Van, and this is a part that annoyed me a little, because Van mentioned something about Luke being like some code word that he hypnotized him with refers to him as like Luke the bad replica or something. And I'm thinking, ooh, I figured it out. This must have been what happened while he lost his memory. When Luke got captured and rescued, what the one that they took, the one that we know, is actually just a clone or something of the original, and that's why he doesn't have any memory. He didn't have any memories. I feel so smart for figuring that out. I wonder when they'll reveal that. Next episode? No, they do it this episode, so I felt disappointed because I couldn't talk on the podcast about, wow, I am so smart. It reminds me of, I remember, back in Kill la Kill, there's the part where, I don't want to, spoil things for anyone who hasn't seen it, but...
It's old enough.
No. I can say it. I'll just be vague about it. So there's a part where you find out Satsuki's mother had some other child before Satsuki, but they got rid of them. And then you find out what actually happened to them in, I think, either that episode or the next episode. I was thinking, oh, that's actually an interesting reveal. I just wish you had given us a little more time to stew on it before saying, oh, and this is what happened to them.
Yeah. Kill la Kill pulled off its shocking moments awfully well. It was really good at doing that. So,
I just remembered that because I thought it was a cool twist. I remember commenting at the time that I wish they had done there had been more space between setting that up and the reveal, so that you would have had time to maybe think about it rather than it being so quick. Done. Like, I can't remember if it was the same episode or if it was the next episode, but it was very soon afterwards. But anyway, then I was also thinking, yeah, so he's the clone, and Ash looks like Luke, because he's the actual original one. I'm smart. I can't wait to discuss this on the podcast. Oh, wait, they confirmed it this episode, so never mind. So yeah, that's like the big reveal.
Wait. Who's the clone of who? Luke is just the replica, right?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure. Yeah. I was a little confused there. Luke's just the replica.
Yeah, the character we know as Luke is the replica. Ash is, well, he's the original Luke, but he took on a different name because otherwise it would be too confusing to the viewer, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So he was the one who got kidnapped, and we don't know exactly what happened after that. All we know is that when they thought they rescued him, they got Luke instead, who is like the replica, and that is obviously why he lost all his memories, because he just got copied and didn't have any memories.
Mm-hmm.
Because he even mentions, his memory was so blank, he had to actually learn how to talk again.
Yeah.
Learn to talk for the first time. So, yeah, that was a cool twist. I just wish they hadn't, done that and then immediately sprung it on us. I mean, I guess you can say, oh, well, it was really obvious at that point that was what was going on, so you might as well reveal it. So I just kind of wish the setup had been a little more, I guess, a little more, the setup stuff had been in an earlier episode and been a little more subtle, enough to make me speculate it but not be sure, and then we would have the reveal here. But hey, it's an effective reveal. It's a good twist.
Yeah. It's kind of like Jack is sin. Sin is bad. You probably don't know what I was referring to there.
No, well, I didn't quite hear what you said. You said something is shin is bad.
I said sin is jet is sin is bad. That was basically the storyline to Final Fantasy X. So,
you know, I've actually never played a Final Fantasy game.
Not one?
No, not any of them.
Wow.
I feel, I've never gotten around to it. I feel like I probably should play one of them sometime, but first episode was very forgettable. The second episode was quite good.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I'm starting to, I can't say I'm starting to. I've been liking Tales of the Abyss ever since probably episode 3. The biggest problem I had with Tales of the Abyss this week was that stupid Funimation wouldn't play the video. I had to like jump through hoops to try to get it to play the video. Like I'd click on it and nothing would happen. So eventually what I had to do is go search for Tales of the Abyss, go find it there in the search, and then play it there. And then it finally worked. Whereas it's in my queue, and if it's in my queue, that would be the most convenient way to watch. And it was only Tales of the Abyss doing that. Like, I was able to watch Overlord or other stuff fine, but Tales of the Abyss just would not play for me. So that was a little frustrating, and I have to remember to do it the same way I did it this time so that doesn't happen again.
Actually, I don't think I've really done much with Kune. Usually I just go to the main page of the videos for the shows and then just click on the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been having a few problems with their player also. There's been some time when I was... This only lasted for maybe a day or something, but I was trying to watch something and it said I couldn't watch it because it wasn't available in my country.
But what was it?
I can't remember. I think... No. It was... Literally, I was watching a video. And, I paused it, kind of went away and did some other stuff. And then I came back because I wanted to finish watching the episode. I think this was the Tales of the Abyss, but I can't remember. I think this was about a week ago. And then I try to watch the video again. The same video I was watching. And it says, this is not available in your country. And speaking of Funimation kind of screwing stuff up, there's still only the first 8 episodes of Season 2 of Isekai Quartet available of the dub.
Yeah, they only got a 2/3 license.
Yeah, so weird. I don't know what's going on there. I think I sent something saying, hey, where is it? And I'm not sure I ever got a response or anything. So yeah.
So why don't you tell us what's going to be on Toonami this week?
Okay, so we're done with Tales of the Abyss then. All right, so Toonami, I'll double check to make sure I'm getting this. But I believe what's coming this week is that we've got Dragon Ball Super. Yay! Reruns. Reruns of a show that we weren't that wild about to begin with. I can't remember the exact order, but it's that. Then we've got JoJo, Assassination Classroom, Black Clover, Fire Force and Naruto, and then some extra reruns, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, so
we don't know what's coming on after that, because there's some weirdly contradictory information about the week after that. We'll find out soon enough. Yeah, okay, so it's JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, then Assassination Classroom, then Black Clover, then Fire Force, then Naruto.
Yeah, and we'll probably at least watch the first three of those. Fire Force is kind of a maybe, and Naruto is kind of a... if you're desperate.
I think we'll probably cut it off at Black Clover. I've been trying to I need to be trying to get to bed a little earlier on the Saturday night, so it doesn't completely throw off my sleep schedule for work. Although I might be able to actually soon be getting a later shift, so we'll see how that pans out. Maybe not. But yeah, what we will definitely be covering is JoJo, Assassination Classroom, and Black Clover. So this will be the premiere of Assassination Classroom. I'm excited to see what you think of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, I guess we can rank the three shows of the three shows we watched, unless you I guess we could try to get the Batman stuff, but I don't even know where I'd be ranking those exactly. For me it would be ReZero, then Tales of the Abyss, then Excel World, top to bottom.
Yeah, for me it would be Tales of the Abyss, then ReZero, then Excel World.
Yeah. Okay, and well, that's our shows. Hopefully, despite our technical problems earlier on, everything managed to work out. I was actually so desperate. I was thinking of, hey, what if I just call you on my phone and I put my phone next to my computer's microphone, and then it'll record your voice from the phone and my and see if that works. The audio would have been terrible, but. But things are working fine now. All right. So that's it for now. Next week we'll be back with the usual Toonami stuff, our non-Toonami stuff, and probably not any more Batman stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Do you want to? We could watch The Dark Knight. I haven't seen that movie for a while.
No, that's okay.
Okay. So I guess that'll be that. You can find our previous episodes at tsunamitherapy.podbean.com. I can't think of anything else to say, so we'll see you next time.
Bye, me.